Isn't that a blessing? Let's give the Lord a hand praise. That song is powerful. It's a beautiful melody, but the message, I will sing of the goodness of God. I don't know about you, but that hits me right here. The goodness of the Lord. That song says, the steadfast love of the Lord never fails. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We serve a good and awesome God this morning. How many know that God is good today? How many know that God gave you breath again today? When he says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I rejoice. You know that word rejoice means I had joy. I had it yesterday, but I got joy again today. So I rejoice. That means again, because God is good to me again today. I'm thankful for yesterday, but I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for new mercies because I had new mercies yesterday, because his mercies are new what? Every morning. But I need mercy for this morning. I need mercy for the day. And I need mercy even right now. I'm thankful that his mercies are not just in the morning. His mercies are in the noonday. His mercies are in the evening and in the midnight hour. And I'm thankful in the midnight at night when I can't sleep, I can call on the Lord. I don't have to worry about getting on the phone with the Lord, because you call some people in the middle of the night, they got the thing on, what do you call it? On silent. They don't want to be bothered in the middle of the night. But God is not like that. He's always there, always available, always listening. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you, especially in times like these that we live in. Don't you know we need the Lord in a real way today? It's one thing to talk about God, but when we're in circumstances, situations, right now, because people right now are suffering right now. We just left that prison the other day. We're going to pray in a minute, but we left that prison the other day. These men are behind bars. They don't get to get up in the morning and go to Starbucks and get coffee. They can't go to the donut shop and get coffee and donuts like we can. They don't have that freedom. But they're bound by bars. They're bound by walls. We walked into the grounds and there was barbed wire. So they can't climb over that wall. Electric fences. But the worst thing is you got people that are not behind those walls and bars. They're out here free and yet they're bound. We're going to talk today about people who found themselves in circumstances and didn't know what to do. They were ready to do like Peter did last week when he said, I'm going back fishing, because he didn't know how to handle his feelings. He had seen the things that Jesus had gone through. He had failed the Lord. He said he denied him three times. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times. He told him what was going to happen. And he even did it. It's really something when God tells you you're going to do something wrong, and you know he said it, and you're going to do it anyway. But it also tells you how merciful God is. It tells you that Jesus knows all about our struggles. He knows what our weaknesses is. He knows our shortcomings. He knows that we were born this way. We're born in sin. We're born, what, lacking. We're always going to miss the mark. You know, you know how people in archery, they got that bow and arrow, and they got that, and they know how to shoot it right in that bow. When it comes to God, you never hit the bullseye. All right. You always going to be a little bit off. That's what it means to miss the mark. We all fall, what, short. I like to use the example of jumping from Long Beach or San Pedro to try to jump over to Catalina Island. You know, you got some people that can get up, and they can move pretty fast. And if you know you get enough speed, you can go pretty far. But you try that and try to get to Catalina Island, you're gonna go plop, right into the drink. But that's our situation, and that's our plight. That's how we were born. We all miss the mark. But God loves us. All right, let's pray. Father, this afternoon, we're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful for the melody of this music. We're thankful how it touches our hearts. We're thankful how it brings us into the mindset where we are ready to receive of the engrafted word. We thank you for your word. Your word is living. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is able to pierce and to cut away all the dead tissue. Deep down where we are, places that no one can reach but you. We thank you for your word. Your word is a light, a lamp to our feet, lighting our way, illuminating our minds, showing us right from wrong, and showing us how much we need you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're an ever-present help in times of trouble. So we thank you this afternoon for your word. Bless the hearts of these, your people, in social media land and here in the sanctuary, God. We thank you. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. You may be seated in the house. You know, I'm overwhelmed. In the last few days, we have done some things. We've gone to the prison and come back. I got home yesterday. Oh, not home yesterday. Today is supposed to say yesterday morning, we got up and I had an earache. So it just bothered me. I never had an earache before. And it bothered me, and I took, you know, something for it and it went away. It came back this morning, and so I'm in prayer this morning, and I said, you know what? I'm going to put my hands on myself. I'm going to lay hands on my own ear and say, and pray. I say, Lord, touch my ear. I know you can. You can do it, or you can make me go to the ER and I can, or the hospital and I can get some antibiotics, however you want to do it. And I did that, and I prayed. You know, my earache is gone. It's gone. And I'm thankful because God can do anything but fail. Amen. But look, we're going to be looking in the book of Hebrews for a few minutes. What time is it? 12:41. Okay. It's
we got all day.
That's just wrong. You know, I'm submitting to the pastor. Pastor said I got all day. I'm only submitting to the pastor. Pastor, I got all day. We're going to be looking in the book of Hebrews, one of my favorite books in the Bible. I think I like, there's so many favorites, but one of my favorites is the book of Hebrews. They don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I can tell you, I know who wrote the book of Hebrews. The Spirit of the living God gave us that book. And the book is so phenomenal. And it was written to a group. And that it was written to, whoever it was written to, because it doesn't say who it was written to, but we know whoever it was written to, they knew the law of Moses. They knew about the law. They knew about the Ten Commandments. And the writer is giving us something here. The title the Lord gave me is A Word of Exhortation. Jesus is better. And we're going to be looking at a lot of verses in Hebrews. We're not going to focus on any particular verse. But the book's basic theme is the superiority of Jesus Christ. And why that's important is because the writer is writing to people who are going through persecution. Many of them were being put in prison, like we just visited prison. Many of them were threatened and they were afraid that they were going to go back into Judaism. And so when you start thinking about what he is doing here, he's going to compare the things under the law with the things under grace, how Jesus is superior to so many things. And why would you go back to something in the Old Testament which was pointing to Jesus Christ? You have the real thing here. Now, why would you want to go back into something that was pointing to what you already see? Remember what 1 John 1 tells us. 1 John says that God, let's see, how's 1 John 1:1 say? It says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have seen with our eyes, we have touched, we have handled of what? The word of life. So they had seen Jesus himself, who was God come from heaven to down to earth and lived among men. And now they want to go back into Judaism. That's like, this is what he's doing. He's saying, don't do that. Amen. You don't need to go back. That's backwards.
That's right.
You don't want to go backwards.
Yeah.
Jesus has shown you what he can do. Trust in that. Hold on to that. So the first three verses, we're going to look at the first three verses. This is God speaking to us about his son. And he's going to tell us a few things about why his son is superior to so many things. And why that's important to us is because if he's better, then you want what's better, don't you?
That's right.
You know, when we think about life, you know, you go to a restaurant. You got two restaurants in here. You say, okay, which one we want to go to? You know, let's go to this one. No, this one is what? Better than that one.
Five stars.
When you go to the car dealership and you look at these cars, you know, this one is good, but this one is better. This one has more bells and whistles than that one did. Look at the difference in the price, though. Oh. But you want what is better. These first three verses start with, it says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he had sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty of God in heaven. Now, when we read those verses, a few things that are brought out, the few things I want to bring to your attention. First of all, it says he created the universe. We're talking about the one they walked with for 3.5 years. He created the universe. And then it says he's heir to all that he created. Then it says he radiates God's own glory and expresses his character. So Jesus was walking in incarnate. He was walking in flesh, tabernacled in flesh, but he was the very visible God himself. The scripture tells us what? In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. But when we read 1 John 4:8, it says God is what? Love. So we saw love incarnate in Jesus Christ. He is everything God was. Jesus told his disciples that asked him, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. Right. And what did Jesus say? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he was God come down to earth. And it says he sustains, listen to this, he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Okay, you wondered all these years why the sun doesn't fall away or the moon doesn't crash on the earth or why those stars just sit there. It's because of he commanded it to be so. He said in the beginning, let there be, and everything became. But in that command, see, we just heard the let there be. But what we didn't hear was he said, all you stars, I want you to twinkle, twinkle until I tell you to stop. I want you to burn out at a certain time. I want you to twinkle. I want you to shine. I want you to sit there. I want you. And I'm going to hold you there. Don't worry about how you're going to sit there. I'm going to hold you. And he spoke it and it became. And so the sun sits there. We go around the sun. The moon goes around the earth. It has been doing that ever since he said, let there be. Yeah. Yeah. And if he sustains that, do you think he can't sustain you?
All right.
Do you think he can't keep you in times of trouble? Remember, they're going through persecution. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus was, he's saying that his son is better. His son is better, and he can hold you in the palm of his hand. He sustains everything. And then it says he is seated at his father's what? Right hand. That means he has equal authority with his father. He is co-ruler and he is co-equal to his father. It also says he's great. We didn't read this part. This is verse 4. It says he is greater than angels. And why he mentioned the angels is because many believe that the angels were there at the time that God gave Moses the law. So many believe they took some part in that. But he's greater than angels. You remember the book of the religion called Mormonism. They have a book called the Book of Mormon. They read the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and there's another book they read, Pearl of Great Price. So they have three different books. But the Book of Mormon is supposedly come from an angel whose name was Moroni. You've probably never even heard of that. But this writer is telling us that he's greater than angels. And his name is greater than the name that they have. So this is why the scripture tells us what? There is no other name given among men whereby we what? Must be saved. Amen. So when we look at this book, the purpose is to urge these believers who are going through this persecution, they're being put in jail, not to be driven back to Judaism. You've experienced all that the forefathers had waited for when Jesus came. They were looking for him to come. Now he's come. Now you want to go back to Judaism? That's not a good idea. Why go back into the shadows and the types when you have the real deal? Like that commercial says, the real thing. And then the suffering they're going through, Jesus suffered too. Jesus told them, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. So don't be surprised. In the world, you what? Will have tribulation. But what? Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. Now, so it starts out this book talking about his son's superiority, and we're going to get into more of the superiority aspect, but it ends in chapter 13, verse 22, where he says, pay attention to what I have written in this brief exhortation. So he calls these 13 chapters a brief exhortation. So the word of exhortation, Jesus is better, is the theme. But when we look at those two words I want you to remember, exhortation and better. You've heard them before. You know what they already mean. You know what better means. Just means more excellent, more effective in type or quality. That's what better means. Exhortation means two things. Actually, it means encouragement, but there's more to it than just encouragement. It's encouragement with urgency. Okay. Encouragement with urgency. Why? Because they were in danger of falling back. And so when you realize that people are going through things and they are in, there's this danger that they're going to leave the Lord. You don't want them to leave the Lord. You want them to hold on. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that in Power Hour this morning. You don't want to let go. You got a hold of what you need. Don't let it go. Yeah. So we have a choice. They have a choice. Jesus is better. Will you choose that which is better? What is it? Joshua said what? I've set before you blessing, or Moses, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So there's always a choice. So he's given them this choice. So let's look at this. So the first few verses we just read talked about, he says, God, who in many times and in many ways spoke to us, our ancestors, how? Through the prophets. Mm-hmm. But now he speaks to us what? Through his son. So the prophets, okay, here's how it went. God speaks to the prophet speaks to the people. So the prophets were like what? Middlemen. Okay. Right? The angels as well. The angels came with messages from God to people. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is superior because no longer you have to hear from somebody else to tell you about the message. Get the message right in front of you here. His name is Jesus. Jesus would say what? In John 5, 39 and 40, he says, you do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But those scriptures do what? They testify of me. So you don't have to worry about what the message is. You have the message right in front of you. His name is Jesus. So he's better than the prophets. He's better than angels. He's better than their message because he is the message. Amen. Then it also goes on to say that he's better than Moses. We all know what Moses did. Moses did what? He brought the children of Israel out of slavery, out of a bondage from Pharaoh and from Egypt. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus brought us out of bondage from what? Sin. Moses did something else. Moses built the tabernacle of meeting. It was called the tabernacle of meeting. This is where God would meet with men. And if, why? Because men could not come to this holy God. God made this tabernacle of meeting. Sacrifices had to be made. And then you could approach this holy God. Well, guess what? As Moses was a constructor of that tabernacle, Jesus also was a builder. He was a carpenter. His father was a carpenter. He's a carpenter's son. But even better than that, we're talking about Jesus is better.
Yes.
He didn't just build buildings. This Jesus built the universe.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That's like the difference between an ant and yes. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus is better.
Yes, he is.
So you have a choice. You want to choose that which is inferior or that which is superior. Jesus is better. So let's look at some of these things, because it tells us in Hebrews 5:3 that he's better because he's greater. He's greater. He's a greater high priest. Because the priesthood was under Aaron. It was the Levitical priests. Their message and their promise was that if you do what? Keep the law. Deuteronomy 28 says, if you do all these, keep my laws, my commandments, my statutes, all these what? Blessings come upon you and overtake you. But if you don't, the curses will come upon you. And that's bad when a curse is so bad that you can't get away from the curses. So nobody was able to keep the law. So Jesus has a better promise. Why? Because now think about this. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. He's our high priest, but he wasn't from the priestly line. So this is a different priesthood. And this priesthood is not under Aaron and Levi. This priesthood is after Melchizedek. Remember who Melchizedek is? He was said to be the man who had no father and mother that they knew of. He had no end of life that they knew of. So his priesthood is described as an eternal priesthood. So because Melchizedek was thought of to have never died, Jesus, because remember, the priests had limitations. First of all, they were men. They had to offer sacrifice for the people. But they also had to offer sacrifice for themselves because they were just men and they had sin as well. And their terms were limited. You know how we elect people and they have term limits,
yeah.
Except for judges, U.S. Supreme Court judges, but everybody else, you have term. But their term limit was limited because what? They died. So what? Jesus's priesthood is better. Because it's an eternal priesthood. He didn't die, and the priesthood continues even today. Why do I say he's doing that priesthood right now? He's at the right hand of his father doing what? He's not just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. The scripture tells us that he what? Ever lives to make intercession. For who? You think we need Jesus to pray for us?
Amen.
Do you think Jesus can get a prayer through?
Yeah.
All right. I think he can get a prayer through. So this is why I pray. I don't know why you pray, but I pray because I think God is going to answer my prayer.
Yes.
I believe that he will do what he says he will do. So he's a better high priest. He's superior to the priesthood under Aaron. He also has a better covenant than the previous covenants. You have the Abrahamic covenant. And you had the Mosaic covenant. Those covenants were good for the times. They brought us something. They gave us something that we need to understand about who God is and about God's holiness. But he has a better covenant and it has better promises. And I'm just going to read from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, verse 10, and verse 12 says this. But now, Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood.
For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord.
Remember, the old covenant was if you do these things, the blessings will come upon you. If you don't, you're going to be cursed.
But look at this. He says, but this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws where?
In their minds.
And I will write them where?
On their hearts. So we don't have to worry about trying to do, trying to be, trying to come up to some standard. Why? He says he's writing them in your hearts. Yeah. So you will not have the desires that you used to have anymore. Mm-hmm. The desires that you never thought you would have. When you know, you got people that have such nice personalities. They wouldn't hurt a fly. They would walk around a cockroach because they don't want to hurt it. And I can't understand that one. But that doesn't have anything to do with their hearts, because given the right circumstances, they will stomp on that bug and it will stomp on you. If given the right circumstances, you would be surprised what you do under pressure. Then that's what these people that they're writing to is under. They're under pressure.
And I can tell you this, what happens with pressure?
Under pressure, we seem to regress back to where we came from, where we were used to, where we were comfortable. That's what pressure will do. And that was the fear they had with that they're writing to.
So he says, I will put the laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And verse 12 says, and I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins.
What happened to the sins of the people when they offered sacrifices in the Old Testament? Their sins were not removed. Their sins were covered. So it's like the rug. It's like the old thing. You sweep the dust under the rug, but they were still there, weren't they? All you have to do is lift up the rug, still there. But God said, I'm going to remove your sins, not dust them, put them under the rug. I'm going to move your sins as far as what?
East from the west.
Which way is east? East? East, west. Because if you keep going east, you never run out of east. You keep going east. You go west, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our sins from us.
So that's a bet. Don't you think that's better?
Yes.
That's better. Better covenant. Yes. Better promises. I'll forgive them and never again remember their sins. So Hebrews 10:10 through 13. And I think I just read that. Yes. So he also says he will reign over a better kingdom. The kingdoms that we see in the books of the Kings and Chronicles, all those kings, you had 20 kings in the north and 20 in the south. And of those kings, how many of them were good in the north?
None.
All those kings were wicked. In the south, of all those kings, 8. They had 8 good kings. David is the one king that all the other kings were compared to. They either did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, or they did that which was good according to their father David. But David is only a picture of the coming king, who is Jesus Christ. And that kingdom is going to be a better kingdom because it will be what? An eternal kingdom. And this kingdom is better because God is going to come and he's going to shake the kingdoms of this world. And the only things that are going to survive are the things that are unshakable. And the kingdom that we are a part of is an unshakable kingdom. The kingdom of God. Amen. Because he is better, he's a better high priest, a better sacrifice, a better covenant he brought us. He's going to be reigning over a better king. We're talking about somebody who is superior. But because he's better, he is a better giver. He gives us better gifts. He gives us, 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, he gives us gifts that are indescribable. When he says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither enter the hearts of men, the things which God hath prepared for those what? That love him. Amen. Indescribable gifts. He gives us better love. Why does God give us better love than the world gives? Because he's love.
God is love.
He is love.
Yes.
He can't not love. That's like your dog who does not go meow. No, your dog always goes roof. That's his nature. God is love. God is going to love you. You can't do anything to make him stop loving you.
That's right.
Somebody said, can a leopard shed his stripes? What is it, stripes? Shed his spots? You know, can a leopard shed his stripes? Okay. So he has superior gifts. He gives better love, and he gives us better life. The world has life. We're all walking around in the life this world has. But this world's life is what? Temporary. I don't care what you have, it's temporary. I don't care where you live, it's temporary. It's going to change. That roof has to be replaced. The stucco has to be redone. The yard's probably going to be dug up and put back and dug up and put back. Things in this world change, and a lot of it ends. I go back to where I grew up, I don't even recognize it.
Right.
Because things in this world change. But he gives us life that does not end. It's eternal. John 3:16 tells us what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that what? Whosoever believes him shall have everlasting life, not temporal life. The life we live today is temporal. We're going to drop one day. These hearts are going to stop one day. Unless the rapture happens, we're going to die. And we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to hear that. But that's reality. I've talked to people and said, you know, you're going to die one day. I don't want to talk about that. You know what? One day you're going to talk about it. You're either going to be at somebody's funeral or somebody's going to be at your funeral. And I don't even like to call them funerals. For us, they're not funerals. We call them homegoing. I like that. We have a place. So we have a hope of glory that is going to be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. We have better hope. We have a better protection. Isaiah 41:10 tells us about the Lord. He is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of heaven's armies. So we have a better protector. Your protector in the Lord. Do you know your protector is better than your gun? Yeah. You got that gun sitting there and somebody breaking into that house. You better hope the Lord is with you. You need the Lord on your side. That song says, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. You might need him. And might need him. You're going to need him. Yeah, that gun is good for, you know, shooting ducks. That's the only reason you get to shoot that duck is he don't move. But when you're talking about protection in my house, the Lord is my protector. He's a better protector. He's a better provider. The 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, which means I shall not have need. I shall not lack. Paul says what? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. He is a better comfort for me. He's a comforter. He's the God of all comfort. You really understand that when you lose a loved one and you need comfort. Children understand that when they stub their knee, hit their knee and they're hurting and their mom says, come here, baby, and just takes them in their arms and rubs the knee. That's comfort. And that's what God does with us. He rocks us in his arms. Big as, you know, some of us are 340, 400 pounds, but he rocks us. Because he's bigger than we are. We're nothing for him. And his love is just so overwhelming.
Yes, sir.
You know, Sister Chrissy was reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and she stopped because she felt it. And that's what the word does. The word is like a two-edged sword. It gets down in there where we are. And when it hits us, oh, you know, this is God.
Yeah.
When you start to think about
what
Jesus did for us,
yes.
How he suffered,
hallelujah.
That part that she got to gets me all the time.
Yeah.
It says, like a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He didn't complain. He knew what he was facing. He knew the worst thing of all, his father would turn away from him. And he said, the scripture says, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because he saw ahead. He said, for the joy, the set before him. He did that. What joy is he talking about?
Us.
Talking about us. This is his joy. You're his joy right now.
Hallelujah.
And it's good for us to think about what he did to make us his joy. Hallelujah. And remember, he loved you before you even knew him.
Yeah. Right.
He loved you in your mess. Mm-hmm. And when I think about my mess and think about did he love me in my mess, I think about a mother's love. This love is even more than a mother's love.
Yeah.
He's my comforter. But the one I think I like best is he is my friend.
Hallelujah.
He gives us better companionship. He sticks closer to you than a brother. Me and my brother are like this. But me and Jesus, whoo, me and Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What does it say?
What a privilege
to carry.
Yes.
Everything to God in prayer. Yes. Oh, what needless. It says, oh, what a pain.
Yes.
What is it?
Oh, what peace we often
feel. No, it says something. Oh, what?
Needless pain we bear.
No, before that. Those of you that know this song. Oh, what?
Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
No, it's not peace. Oh, yeah, it is peace. It is peace. What peace we often, they're looking at like, what song are you talking about? Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Yes.
Before we get to the needless pain, what peace we often forfeit.
Right, right.
You're not having peace. Why? You backed away from God. In his presence,
all right.
Is fullness of joy.
Yes.
At his right hand, pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
In his presence,
yes.
Yes.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
A peace that what? Passes understanding.
That's it.
I'm going to tell you something. You don't understand this peace until you go through hell.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going through the heat of life. These that he was writing to in this book were going through hard times. They were being persecuted. How many have ever been? You haven't probably been persecuted for the sake of Christ, but have you been through hard times?
Amen.
Have you been through times where you didn't know where you're going to find answers? You know all your friends were either gone or they couldn't help you. Everybody I call, nobody has enough money. I need a little money. Nobody has what I need. This is when you find out who God is. This is when you find out that he will be to me all that I need.
Yeah,
he can give me what I need. He's better than a friend. A friend that sticks closer to me than a brother. Jesus told the disciples, he says, no longer do I call you servants. I call you friends. Why did he say that? Because the master does not tell the servants everything, but he tells his friends. So he's told us everything we need to know.
Yes. Yes.
He has told you, oh man,
what
is good,
yes.
And what doth the Lord require of you to do justly?
Yeah.
Live what?
To love mercy
yes. And to walk how?
Humbly.
Jesus, somebody talked about him yesterday, washing the disciples' feet in his Last Supper. And he says, what I'm showing you now, you don't understand it now, but you will understand it later. What is he saying? We have to serve one another. We have to love one another. We have to encourage one another. But we have to do like this book is saying. We have to encourage people with urgency.
All right.
Urgency. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You know people that don't know the Lord, you got to let them know. There is a God that loves you. There's a God that wants to see the best for you. There's a God that knows you, knitted you in your mother's womb.
Yes.
He knows you intimately, and he wants you to know him. Jesus is better.
Yes, he is.
So this was he calls this a brief word of exhortation. So all he's saying to them is don't let go. Don't give up. Don't give in. When things get rough, that's not the time to run from the Lord. That's the time to run to him. He says, come to me, all you that are weary. You're tired. This life can make you tired. Yeah. This life can overwhelm you. I heard somebody this morning talking about people that are depressed, suicidal. Do you know that the suicide rate has skyrocketed? Do you know anxiety has skyrocketed? Because there's so many things going on in this world, so many things in life that we're overwhelmed. Don't, you know, God forbid you look at the news. You can't look at the news and find good news. You look at the news and always bad news. Somebody's dead. Somebody's dying. Somebody shot somebody. Somebody shot some kids. There's war over there. There's war over here. There's chaos in our homes, chaos in our marriages. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hebrews 12:2 gives us a picture. It says, looking unto Jesus,
yes,
the author and the finisher. He's the author, which means he was there in the beginning.
Yes.
The beginning of the book of the book of the word says, in the beginning, God.
Yeah.
John 1:1 says, God, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God. God was there. He's the author. And this morning we talked about how Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, which means there's hope.
Yes,
hope is coming. He's the finisher. He sees you when it's all done. He sees that perfect vessel that he has been forming in all the stuff you've been going through. He saw you when he took you, before you got saved, he took you like a broken pot out of that dumpster and said, I can use this broken thing. And he took that broken thing and he had to make it again. That's why we say we must be what? Born again. But he didn't, but that birth comes through, it comes through change. He takes the broken pot. You can't just patch the pot. You have to remake the pot. So he takes it and he pounds it until it's pulverized back into dust. And then he mixes it with water and makes a whole new clay out of it. And then he starts to form it. And he forms it in his image and it makes him look like, makes it look like Jesus. And then he paints it, makes it look good. But then the final step, he puts it in the furnace, in the fire.
Yes.
In that fire isn't, you can't put it in warm, a warm oven.
Right.
It has to be hot. Mm. So some of us are going through pulverization. They're going through hard times. They're going through beating. You can't get away from. Some of us are going through that time where we're spinning on the wheel, spinning. The world is going around and around. I can't get myself together. Some of us are in the fire. It's hot. But let me tell you that when it's all over, he say you're going to come out like gold. Amen. Pure gold. You're going through something because God is making something. You're going through this because God sees you as he finished. He's the finisher of our faith. He sees what you are going to be. He called you and he purposed in you. And he sees you in the end, how he's going to use you. He had to go back to tell Peter, and he let Peter examine himself. Peter, do you love me?
Yes.
Do you really love me? He knew Peter didn't love him like he loved Peter. He didn't ask him that because he didn't know the answer. He asked him that so Peter would examine himself. And we have to examine ourselves. We have to look at ourselves and say, do I really come up to that place where Jesus wants me? What can I do to get there? And Jesus is letting him know, just trust in me. Trust in me. But look, when things get hard, and I'm wrapping this up, what does Hebrews 4:16 say? We can come boldly.
Yes, sir.
To the throne. We don't have to lag. We don't have to run away. This is the thing we have to remember. This is the one thing that will, if we do this one thing, we'll be successful. Don't run from God. Run to Him. He said, come to me, all you that are weary. Come to me that are going through things. Come to me and I'll rest you. I'll rest you. Because God is better. God is greater. God is superior to all those other things. He's superior to all these things in this life, in this world. He's better. He deserves better. He deserves better honor. He deserves better praise. Yes. Psalm 48:1 says what? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's greater. Yes. So let's praise Him in a greater way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm done. God bless you. Amen.
is good. The preacher told us we're going to leave here. Somehow, some way, if the rapture don't take place, we're going to leave here with our last sickness. And we need to have Jesus in our lives. It's amazing to me that we can go to a prison and 87 men come to Christ. And sometime in our churches, or some of our churches, there may be people online. The house may be full of people. And the appeal is made, is there anyone who wants to receive Christ? And it's far and few in between. I don't know if people feel the urgency. If people see the need. Someone who heard the gospel message today, that they can understand that Jesus is greater than whatever problem they may have, greater than whatever drug they may be addicted to, greater than any habit that they may have, greater than the best thing they've ever seen or experienced. He's greater, so much more. And so we pray today, we appeal to someone today. Hear this preacher right now. And there's a void in your life that nothing can fill but Jesus. You're tired, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Of him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. So, Father, we thank you today and we praise you. Thank you for allowing us to come together one more time to worship you. Fellowship with the saints of God. Oh God, to hear your word. That we may apply your word, God, we say thank you. Thank you for the people of God everywhere. Thank you for us being citizens in your kingdom, soldiers in your army, friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you today. No longer bound, no more chains holding us because we are free in Jesus. Send your word, Lord.